Today's daf is Masechet Tevachim, daf Samach Aleph. So let us remember the complexities of what has been going on here. We were in the middle of the sugya in which Abaye was able to bring a raya that the third halacha of Mizbeach Shenivga, its impact of not only Lagabe Haktorah, and not only Lagabe Zrika, but also Lagabe Achila, that was true, not only in terms of kachet kachim, that you can't eat kachet kachim, and the mizbeach is nifkam, but even legabe kachim kalim. And he wanted to base it on the drasha that had been quoted by Rabbi Yossi. This particular drasha, Shlosha Zekanim, this particular drasha was the drasha of Rabbi Yishmael, who compared the din of the dam of the bechor to the basar of the bechor. And since we know that the dam requires mizbeach, obviously, so too does the basar require mizbeach. That's a given. And memela, he was able to learn out bechor, which is kachim kalim, that it's also dependent on the mizbeach. And since Rabbi Yishmael himself was comparing the din of bechor to all of the ve'evet and shama, which includes olotechem, zifrechem, and even masrotechem and trumat yetchem, so it included not only things that had to do with kachim, but even had to do with the etzem, binim of ma'aser sheni, we learn how. So therefore, certainly when it came here to kachim kalim in general, he was relying on that drasha and was very happy. Now, when this was told over to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah laughed at it, made fun of the Bavli, what a bunch of idiots they are, since there's clearly two brightot that contradict each other, unless you recognize that indeed there is a difference between kachim kalim and kachim kachim. One brighta says that it's possible to eat, even during the time of what appeared to be the masaot, it said there's two places you can eat kachim. In the midbar, which is mashma, even after they're traveling, not only in the time that there's the machane set up, the mishkan in the middle of the machane. The other one says the moment that you took down the mishkan to travel and move the mizbeach, then you weren't allowed to eat kachim. So it's clear that one is kachim kachim, one is kachim kalim. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah was stating yesterday. In which case, the entire basis of Abaye is torn out from under him. Because now it turns out that there is no application of this halacha to the dinim of kachim kalim. And Abaye was taken for granted that there was. Ravina, who was offended by the way that Rabbi Yirmiyah was making light of the whole limud, so he came along and he said, it's not true. There's not really a problem. You could say that both of them are going on kachim kalim. And that, remember, Abaye was saying that he's being samech on the drasha of Rabbi Yossi, which was quoting Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael indeed learns basar from dam, and therefore he holds that the bechor, which is kachim kalim, has the same din as the dam, and the moment you take down the mizbeach, it's over. That's what Abaye was going like. Well, you're laughing at Abaye because he holds like Rabbi Yishmael. There is a different drasha of that pasuk in Masechet Tumah, and that's the Rabbanan, and they, okay, you could say that they're the authors of the other brayta that says that the moment that you took down the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, that everything became nifsal, even, it was still kosher, rather, even B'shas HaMasos, because they don't have this drasha Bosvadam, they have a different drasha Bosvadam, not Lagabi Akhila of the Bos. Fine. That's where we had left it yesterday. Now, I told you yesterday that we're going to get back a little bit to try to look into the way that Rabbi Yishmael was thinking about the entire issue of Kiddush Rishon, Kitchel HaShayta, Kitchel HaTid Lavo, because this is a sugya that is scattered in so many different places and it has so many different inyonim in it. Whenever we get to one of these places, Kedai just to point out the issues that are being brought up, not to try to get a definitive shot over here because it's dependent on too many other gemaras. However, it is important over here to at least hear what it is that Tosis brings up in terms of the pshat that Rashi has brought. Remember that Rashi understood that the Gemara was trying to figure out what was Rabbi Yishmael saying? What were his first basis of assumptions that he was talking yesterday, in which he said, for some reason, that, well, Bechor is a given, and definitely a Bechor, you would not be able to, after the Churban, to eat in Yerushalayim. But I'm not sure about Ma'aser Sheni. So in the end, he explains himself. In the end, he says, well, it's because of the Bechor has this comparison of Basar to Dam, Meister doesn't, and therefore I would think that I could compare it, and it turns out that I can't, and therefore I need to have a hekesh in the end. Veveitem shema olotechem vezivchechem. The Gemara, in order to get to what he was thinking, asked what was his initial assumption in terms of the din of Kedusha Rishayit. It didn't seem to make sense. If he holds Kedusha Rishayit, Kedusha Rishayit, Kedusha Latid Lavod, so why does he say there's a problem with the Bukhar? Because remember, we didn't know about the Basavidna. Why does he think there's a problem with the Bukhar? If it was Kedusha Latid Lavod, you should be able to actually bring the Bukhar, because you could be Makriv, Afal Pi Yishein Bayit. And if the Yotz Kedusha Rishona is not Kitcha Le'atid Lavod, so then whatever question he had about the Meiser would be exactly the same question about the Bechor. What exactly was more unclear to him about one or the other? Now that's strange. What do you mean? Even Bechor can be asked. How could Bechor be asked? If you hold that you can't be Makriv the Bechor, then why in the world was there any suffix? There's nowhere to be Makriv it. So obviously, when we got to that point, we understood that the question would be, if you went ahead and were Makriv a Bechor, and you did everything, Zrikas Adam, Makrav HaSeimurim, and then the Mizbeach was destroyed. So we're talking about a very specific case, a laboratory situation, which would be able to isolate the issue of Achila, where everything was done correctly. So then you would have this question of, what about, is it considered to be Lifnei Hashem? Or is it not considered to be Lifnei Hashem? But over there, obviously, it wouldn't be any more clear to you than it was by Meiser. And I don't understand what the issue is. Now, of course, when it comes to Meiser, again, the assumption would be, and this is how Rashi understands it, if you hold Kedusha Sa'aretz is not Batla, so then there would be a Chiyav of Meiser, and you have to bring that Meiser up to Yerushalayim. So if you would hold that Kedusha was Batla, then you'd have to assume, says Tosfos, that the same thing would be true about the Meiser. In other words, the Meiser grew, Peros grew at the time of the Bayit, that became Chayev in Maaser, you took off your Maaser, and now you're going to bring them up to Yerushalayim, comes along Nebuchadnezzar and destroys Yerushalayim. Is the Mokum Yerushalayim still considered to be Lifnei Hashem or not? And therefore, the Gemara says, it doesn't make any sense. Why would one be more clear to him than the other one? This is how Rashi understood it. And then, as we pointed out yesterday, when we come along and we say, as Ravina did, that actually holds lo kichali atid lavo, and therefore the question was that the Bechor had been brought before, and the issue over here is that the Basar and the Dam are compared, if there's no Mizbeach to be Zerik the Dam, then there's no Mizbeach to be Eichel the Basar. Now, we mentioned yesterday that Tosfos is very bothered by this, because all over, we always say the opposite. All over, we say that Kichel HaShayit, Kichel HaTid Lavo, in terms of Yerushalayim. We would never say it the other way around. Why would he have said it the other way around? What pushes him to say this? There's such an obviously simple explanation. The reason that the Bechor cannot be eaten is because of the Pigimat HaMizbeach. We were talking about it before. So why don't we just say, now look, a Bechor, it's clear to me, because Bechor is dependent on a Mizbeach, and therefore I can conceive that the Pigimat HaMizbeach will be, in this case, the Churban itself, will be Ma'akev V'Akil of the Bechor. And therefore, even though Kedusha Rishon is Kichel HaShayta V'Kichel HaTid Lavo, you can't eat it, because there's no Mizbeach. What is so weird about that? That's what we've been talking about. Isn't that the most natural way to respond? Whereas by Meiser, where it doesn't have anything to do with that, he said there's no din of Pigimat HaMizbeach. And that was his question. And he answers, well, but the Torah compares even Meiser to Bechor, and there's a Hekesh, and therefore, even though you would think there's no problem, because it's Kichel HaTid Lavo, and it's considered to be Lifnei Hashem, but since the Torah says there needs to be a Mizbeach, there needs to be a Mizbeach, by the way. I mean, the connection to Mizbeach is so, in other cases, for instance, in terms of the dinim of Beit Din. What can Beit Din paskin? We learn out that if there's no Mizbeach, that you're not allowed to, Bezdin is not allowed to paskin in any capital cases. So, I mean, what does the Mizbeach have to do? You're going to bring something on the Mizbeach. So there's all kinds of dinim that are dependent on the presence of the Mizbeach. And that has nothing to do with Kichel HaShayta, Kichel HaTid Lavo. And therefore, that would have been the simplest thing for the Gemara to have said over here. Now, some of you brought this up yesterday. You may taina, says Tosfos, that the problem over here in the is the lashon of the braita. The lashon of the braita is ma b'chor eino ela b'fnei habayit. Now that's mashma that we're not dealing with the issue of the mizbeach. B'fnei habayit is mashma that we're talking about the din of kedusha Eretz Yisrael or kedusha Yerushalayim. Maybe that's why we didn't want to say that it's talking about. The Rashi didn't want to say anything else. He took the girsa as it was. Ravina says it must be that it's not negeah the bayit. And therefore the bayit meant bayit mamish. So if we would say kichali latid lavo, why do we need the bayit? I thought the halacha is that makrivim afa pisha ain't sham bayit. Maybe that was what the Gemara's kasha was. So why do we need more than the mizbeah? But lemaisa, I mean, there's nothing to force us to say that. Could be it doesn't mean the bayit mamish. Okay. Furthermore, says Tosfos, and here's the interesting part. When the Gemara says you should have the same question about the Bechor, if you hold lo kicha latid lavo, what kind of question would you have? If lo kicha latid lavo, why in the world would it be called Lifnei Hashem? What elements of Lifnei Hashem are there if lo kicha latid lavo? The Gemara was asking, does he hold lo kicha latid lavo, so then why is he more sure about Bechor? He should even be unsure about Bechor. Unsure? Unsure of what? Unsure that maybe a low kichel atid lavo would still allow you to eat a Bechor? Why? You might as well be in Timbuktu. How could he possibly think that that was Lifnei Hashem? What was Rashi thinking in this gears? That there's a suffix. Can you explain to me what the suffix was? If low kichel, it's obvious that it's not called Lifnei Hashem. So where would this make sense? Not to mention the fact, says Tosfos, the obvious problem. If low kichel atid lavo, then at the time of the Churban, it became possible biyotze. Forget about can you eat it Lifnei Hashem. If there's no mechitza, it's the same thing as taking the meat outside of Yerushalayim. And now it becomes possible biyotze. I don't give a hang where it is. You wouldn't be able to eat it even if you rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. And it was Lifnei Hashem, and you didn't hold the dichlur. You wouldn't be able to eat it because it is a psoyotze. So what's the Gemara talking about, according to Rashi? What do you need this hekesh for? Bosser, damsel, you do with a hekesh. Ask any five-year-old, and they'll tell you. It's completely possible. No possible way to eat this thing. Now, I mean, and this is a striking problem. Now, the only possibility, says Tosfos, which he says, this is wild. The only possibility is that the fact that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and that there's no Mizbeach, perhaps he's saying, doesn't bother us if the walls around Yerushalayim are still there and they are the mechitzas for Kachim Kalim, and therefore you'll say that maybe that's the point. There's no Kedusha of the Machana Shechina, so there's no Lifnei Hashem, but there's no problem of Yotze, because the Chomot Yerushalayim are there, and maybe that's enough even to be called, since it's Mechitza is the Chomot Yerushalayim, maybe that's the Gemara's Kiboy. In other words, maybe even Bechor could be eaten, assuming all the Aveda was done before the Churban of the Bayit, you would still be able to eat it, because Yerushalayim is Lifnei Hashem. And this, he says, is a beautiful thing. He says, that is the strangest thing in the world, because the whole structure of the Machana is that Yerushalayim is Kadesh in order for there to be the Beis HaMikdash inside of it. To think that we're going to have a Machana Yisrael Darg of Kedusha, but it's not going to be followed by the Kedusha of the Machana inside. There's no Machana Shechina, there's no Machana Leviyah. I mean, what would that mean, Bichlal? What is the concept of a Machana that doesn't have these levels of Kedusha? It's just a place. It's not a place that is surrounding a place that is surrounding a place. So what would make it a Machana? Isn't the point of Chomot Yerushalayim and its Kedusha the fact that it is the outer layer, so to speak, of the internal Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash? You mean to tell me you're going to be Mevatel that, but you'll still be Bekayim the outside? It's very weird. It's a Dvar Timana. It's all a different way of looking at it in the broadest sense. What do we mean by the Kedusha of the Machana? Right? Like this, you think, yeah, okay, why not? But it's really a beautiful Taina. This is how such a thing possible. It's like, Echi Tachin. How is it possible? It should be Kedushat Yerushalayim. But there's no Kedushat Abayit. Echi Tachin should Kedushat Abayit Ibatel the Kedushat Yerushalayim to Kayim. Lovely. What would be the intrinsic value of a city that where there's no internal kedusha? That's what he says. Well, where would Rashi get that from? I mean, the whole thing is so dochuk. He'd be inserting one dochuk after another dochuk. It would be like removing the nucleus of the cell and then saying that the cellular membrane is still very valuable. I mean, but there's nothing in there anymore that's of value. You took out all the information, basically. Okay, so therefore, he follows the opposite girsa entirely in the sukkah, Taisus. And he learns that actually the girsa should be that ikasova, kiddush rishona kichula shaita, kichula tidlavo, so then you should be able to eat a bechor, because it's a smash. If you hold lo kicha, not afilu bechor, afilu meiser nami. Why is it clear to you about bechor? Obviously, what do you mean? Can you eat meiser where there's no kedusha? Why would you be able to eat meiser where there's no kedusha? How in the world would you call that lifnei Hashem? What's your hava mina bichlal? Now that's very logical. And Ravina responds exactly the opposite. No, of course he owes kedusha. Kedusha rishona kedusha l'shaita v'kedusha latid lavo. So now, according to this, when we were asking about the bechor, then the bechor would be, you're telling me, even the Bechor, we should also have a case where there's no Yerushalayim, no Azara. That would be because if you hold Kichel HaShayit V'Kichel HaTidavo, you could be Makri, even though there's no bind. What do you do? Put down a Mizbeah. Pizorek the Dam on the Mizbeah. What do you need the Chomot for at all? The Kedusha is still here. And then just go ahead and bring it. Fine. But you'll have to rebuild a Mizbeah. He tells without a Mizbeah, since we said before, Moda Rav B'damim, Rav is made it, you can't be Zerik the Dam without a Mizbeach. He was only saying you could be marked for the place of the Mizbeach, but not that you could be Zerik the Dam. That was the whole sugya that led to this. Okay, so in any event, I just felt it was very kedai to bring up these fascinating issues. And this is now a whole different element of the understanding of the sugya, completely mirror image almost, the way Rashi was reading it. And so, let us continue now. So here we are on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. So again, the Ravina's pshat is, let's start again, Omer Ravina, Ide v'ide b'kachim kalim, v'lo kasha Rabbi Yishmol harabon. So Rabbi Yishmol darshins the pasuk that compares Basar to Dam. The Rabbanan and Tmura do not darshin such a pasuk, and therefore I don't understand why are you laughing at the B'nai Bavel. Abaya was simply making the assumptions of Rabbi Yishmol right here. Or, I could tell you even a different pshat. The whole point that Rabbi Yirmiyahu was making to laugh at the Bavloi Tipshoi is because of the fact that we have a stira in the Braita, in the stira in which one case it says you can eat in two places in the Midbar, which you assume to mean even after the whole thing has been torn down and everybody's moving, you can eat. And the other one is you can eat when it's in its place, whereas the other Braita said the moment it's taken down, you cannot. You insist, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, the only explanation is kachim kachim versus kachim kalim. I have another explanation. I say, hava hava kachim kachim. Nothing to do with what you're saying. Of course, Abai is right. There's no difference. Kachim kachim is exactly the same issue, except that you understood Shnei Mekomot wrong. Shnei Mekomot doesn't mean at the time of the Hasa'ot HaMachaneh or at the time of the building of the Machaneh. When it says Shnei Mekomot, it's referring to, not to after the Silak HaMizbeach. Of course, if there's a Silak HaMizbeach, then it's possible. Everybody agreed to that. Silak HaMizbeach passes. And so, what is it referring to? Shnei Mekomot means Kodem Shiamidu Leviyim Et HaMishkan Uli'achar Shiyefreku HaLeviyim Et HaMishkan. Point over here is nothing to do with the tearing apart of the Mizbeach. If the Mizbeach isn't there, then of course you say Mizbeach Shenivgam, that's true. However, the Chiddush is that even though, now there's a little bit of a problem here, as Rashi points out, but a little bit of a problem is that the words here cannot logistically happen. Because what it says over here is Kodem Shiamidu Leviyim Et HaMishkan. So the point Rashi says, look, the point of the Gemara is just trying to bring out one aspect of it. Logistically, what used to happen was that the Hasa'at HaMachaneh was split up. The Levim, if you recall, B'nai Gershon, B'nai Kahat, B'nai Merari, had different tafkidim. And therefore, before the B'nai Kahat, who were the ones who were carrying the actual Dvarim that were Mekudashim, before they would arrive, they were the last ones to travel. Before they would arrive, the B'nai Gershon Merari, who were the ones that were traveling with the heavy duty, with the Agalot, and they had all the Kashia Mishkan and the Kla'im, they would first arrive, put up the Mishkan, when everything was ready, by then the Bnei Kohat would arrive, and they would, after, as they were Nosea Achar Shnei Degalim, so there were 100,000 people, 150,000 people moving before they ever arrived. They were coming in front of them. That took quite some time. Meanwhile, there was time to set up the whole Mishkan. Then come along the Bnei Kohat, and they put everything in. Okay. So therefore, there is no time where Kodem Shiamidu Levim at HaMishkan. There's no such time where you could have a Mizbeach, Kodem Shiamidu Levim. This really doesn't make any sense at all. Says Rashi, well, it doesn't really mean. It's lav dafka. There is no time that such a thing would actually have happened. Tosfos discusses even the possibility, as Rashi does, maybe they were Mishana the Seder. You know, that's what it would mean, a theoretical case, if they did it wrong, but that would lead to another problem. Because then, if you would have brought karbonos before they put up the Mishkan, the issue would have been petach ha'omoed. If there's no petach ha'omoed, then you pass the carbon anyway. So you'd anyway run into a problem. Therefore, it must be that this whole thing is lav davka. That the point over here, says Rashi, is not literally that was kodem shi'amidu levim et ha'mishkan. But the point over here is that ba'o detema ifseluhu biyotzei. The question over here is, we are not talking about eating a carbon when there's no mizbeah. There is a mizbeah. But it was la'acher, this is the point that's important, la'acher shepirkot ha'mishkan. That's the point. Remember that before we took away the mizbeah, they came and they took down the krashim, the kla'im, piled them up on the wagons, moved off. Meanwhile, the Mizbeach is still there. That's the other place where you can eat. Why do we call it another place? Because you've already taken down the mechitzas. So you took down the mechitzas. You would therefore think that you passled this with yotze, not because the Mizbeach is nifgam. The Mizbeach is still there. That's the point. And now your problem is, but what good is a Mizbeach being there if there's no Ohel Moed, and we're talking about Kodshei Kodshim, then you need the equivalent of the mechitza that was the mechitza of the Azara. Well, now already there is, it's no good. Now already it's possible biyotze, even though there is a Mizbeach. A Mizbeach isn't nifga. That's the point that it's making. Nothing to do with the Mizbeach. Rather to do with the status of the Ohel Moed. That's the issue. Ma'od Tema, you would have thought, says Ravina. This is what the Chiddush is. Ma'od Tema ifseluhu biyotze. You might have thought that since you took down the mechitzas now, so everything that was kodshei kodashim became pasul biyotze. Kamash malan, that the pasik actually is matir, as we'll see, and tells you that there's no din of yotze, even though you took down the mechitzas. How could that be? Ask the Gemara of Eima Hachinami. Why isn't it true that it's nifsal biyotze? Since you took down the Mishkan, Omar Kro, because the Pasuk says, after the Mishkan is taken apart, and it's sitting here in a wagon, it says, V'nasa Ohel Moed. What's that supposed to be? V'nasa Ohel Moed? Where? Who? What? All I see is a bunch of tarp over a truck. Where's the Ohel Moed? If the Torah calls it an Ohel Moed, then that means, Afa Pisha Nasa, it's still called an Ohel Moed. If it's still called an Ohel Moed, that means it's coming to tell you that there is no Psul of Yotzeh. But once they took down the Mizbeach, that's a separate issue, Bichlal. That's a Mizbeach Shenifgam. You're only allowed to eat at the time that you have a Mizbeach. Even you, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, you're mated that by Kutchin is nothing to discuss. That is that we need to have a Mizbeach Kishu Shalem. You agreed to that. You found somebody arguing on that. You were just questioning whether it's true about Kutchin Kalim. No! Forget about Kutchin Kalim, okay? No Kutchin Kalim. Even Kutchin Kutchin, there's no contradiction here. Therefore, the important part of this formula is la'acher she'ifrko levim et ha'mishkan. When it says over here, kainem she'amidu levim et ha'mishkan, that's irrelevant, says Rashi. That isn't the point. What it really means is that even if everything is there, that's the place. But the part that's important is after they took down the bayit, so to speak, but left the mizbeach. And there is no heter of achila after akirat ha'mizbeach, but rather that you're allowed to eat kachim kachim without the kilayim. That's the chiddush. According to this approach, Ravina's contradiction, Rabbi Yirmiyahu's contradiction, says Ravina, and the Braita is not a contradiction. There's two completely different issues over here. One is basilo ha'mizbeach, obviously. Everything is no longer kosher. One is at the Silak HaMishkan without a Silak HaMizbeach. Over there remains kosher. Fine. Omer Avuna, Omer Rav. Mizbeach shel Shiloh, shel Avanim Hayah. We spoke about the replacement of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet by Shlomo, but we did not discuss, and it's really strange, because in the Pasuk, that's all it talks about. We mentioned this briefly, where we asked, how do we know that we're meant to compare the Mizbeach of Shlomo to the Mizbeach HaNechoshet of Moshe? Maybe when we're talking about Katan, we should be saying Katan vis-a-vis the Mizbeach in Nov, or the Mizbeach in Givon, the Mizbeach in Shiloh, for that matter. Well, we're talking about close to 500-year period over here, 480 years, before we have to deal with the transition between the Mizbeach of Moshe and the Mizbeach of Shlomo. And you're pretending it's like right there. There were three stages in between. There was the Mizbeach in Shiloh, the Mizbeach in Nov, the Mizbeach in Givon. Okay, those two you could say is the same, because Nov and Givon just were different locations of the same idea. It's called the Mizbeach anyway, even though, but Lagabi, this halacha, we'll see, it's called the Mizbeach. In terms of the dinim, it had a din of Boma Sibur, but that doesn't mean that there's not a Mizbeach in a Boma. The din of Boma doesn't represent a different way of building a Mizbeach. It's just a different halacha, Lagabi, the din of Mechitzes. So, therefore, it was always a little bit strange. Why were we analyzing the Mizbeach and Akoshes? And what indeed is the halacha? Does the Mizbeach HaNechoshet remain active until the time of Shlomo, which was the mashmaut of the sugya that we were saying before, and that Shlomo HaMelech had to transfer now the Kedusha from the Mizbeach HaNechoshet that was small to his new Mizbeach, maybe even the new Mizbeach was small, but everybody had agreed in the machlokas there that we had, in Reb Yud, everybody agreed that certainly that was the moment of the transition. And yet, now we come to a diak in the Pasuk from which Rav Huna shows, the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, and Yaakov Omer, that it must be that there was a transition to Mizbeach Avonim long before, centuries before, Shlomo ever came around, which changes the entire formula. Tatani, Rabbi Eliezer, and Yaakov Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, why do we have three separate circuits that stress Mizbach Avanim? We have the first one right after our Sinai, V'im Mizbach Avanim Ta'aseli Lo Tivneot En Gazit, that we've been discussing. But we also have, in terms of the Tzivoy of the Beis HaMikdash, V'ubanita Sham Mizbeach, L'Hashem Elokecha Mizbach Avanim, that's where it says Lo Tanif Aleihem Barzel. That was our whole problem. How do we get these smooth stones? And then we have the other halacha, Avanim Mishleimot Tivneet Mizbach Hashem Elokecha, from which we learn you can't have any pegima. Three times you mention the word Avanim. Why? Because one is to tell you, Avanim, Shalosh Pamim. One is to tell you that the Mizbeach in Shiloh is a Mizbeach Avanim. One is to tell me that the Mizbeach in Nov in Givon is a Mizbeach Avanim. And one is to tell you that the Mizbeach meant for the Beit HaMikdash is the Mizbeach Avanim and not the Mizbeach HaNechosh. Moshe Vavach Barami, doesn't it say that the fire that came down at the time of the Hanukkah Mizbeach in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, Eish Yordo Min HaShamayim B'mei Moshe, Lo Nistalka Mi'al Mizbeach HaNechosh Tal B'mei Shlomo? If the fire left the Mizbeach HaNechoshet only at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, which of course is consistent with what we thought was the meaning of the sugya until now, where we were prorating the area on the Mizbeach per carbon, when we were trying to analyze what happens when you first start with one square amma as the makom of Haktara, like Moshe Rabbeinu had, and now you turned it into 400 square amma, and so on, right? Okay, that's consistent with this, but it's not consistent with the idea of having transferred the Mizbeach Avanim to the from the Mizbeach HaNechoshet to the Mizbeach Avanim. Yeah, boy, oh boy. We need a little Eish Yordam and Hashemayim over here. Richie, let me tell you. Oh my gosh, that stuff is like x-ray lasers. Yeah. But at least it's painless. It's instantaneous. Might as well throw you into a quasar. Perhaps you'd like some Kool-Aid to discuss in common.
Kool-Aid.
That's very popular.
A la Jonestown.
That's old-fashioned Jonestown. That was just a model. Permanent line. Even when they were moving, there was a fire in the Mizbeach. Never left. What did they do to make sure that it wouldn't burn down? They had to cover the Mizbeach. So we'll see that they had a special container called a psachter that they put over the Mizbeach so that the fire wouldn't come out and it would just crouch. So it would crouch under the psachter in order not to burn anything. But it was a well-behaved lion, if you acted correctly. And then they would open it up and it would come out again and growl. So you got that fact. Come out and growl. Yeah. Okay, so... Anyway, so now how do we square this issue with Rav Huna? So therefore, the Gemara is saying, so here on the one hand, Rav Huna is claiming that when it says Avanim, 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 remember that in Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov, it doesn't say anything about whether in actuality the Mizbeach in Shiloh or in Novin Givon were Avanim. It's just telling you that you can have a Mizbeach Avanim. Otherwise, it would say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzav and Moshe Rabbeinu with a mitzvah to make a kli, a mizbeach anechosha. So then that means that the mizbeach upon which you bring korbanot needs to be a kli, not binyan, as we noted yesterday. That, gee, that really is strange. Do we learn a kli from a binyan, or should we learn a kli from a kli? So how indeed was there a transition from a kli to a binyan? Why doesn't that violate the original mitzvah? That's what he's bringing. There's three psukim that say that you have an option of a mizbeach avanim. But where does it say that it actually happened? So our kasha on Rav Huna is, as Rav Acha bar Ami asked, that the Braita says that in reality, Moshe Rabbeinu Mizbeach HaNechoshet contained the lion that entire time, and the Eish was there, so apparently they did not replace the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, and they did not build a Mizbeach Avanim. So why does Rav Huna think he can rely on Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? This is really the understanding of the sugya, according to the Achronim. Okay? So, how do you explain this? It says it only came down Bimei Shlomo, and that fire that jumped off of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet onto the Mizbeach of Shlomo stayed there until Menashe came along and ruined the Mizbeach with Silka. That's when it left. If you're right, Rav Huna, so then the very moment that they built the Mizbeach HaManim in Shiloh, the Eish was already off of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet of Moshe, and had come onto the Mizbeach HaVanim. Who the Omek Rabbi Natan? Rav Huna has a makor in Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says, Mizbeach shel Shiloh shel Nechoshet hayachalul malei avanim. So that what they did was, there was a transition from the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, which when they used to come now to a place in the Makan, in the Midbar, they would fill it up with sand. So then it became a Mizbeach Adama. It wasn't Avanim. Here, when they came to Shiloh, they used a Nechoshet frame. So it was similar to the idea of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. But they filled it with Avanim. They filled it with Avanim and then a Mizbeach Avanim. Reb Nachum bar Yitzchak says, well, what's the problem? That it says Lo Nistalka? What do you think Lo Nistalka means? That there was no other Mizbeach that was burning on? Lo Nistalka means Lo Nistalka Levatala. It never left. Permanently or completely, it never left the Mizbeach HaNechoshet until Shlomo came along. When Shlomo came along, then it moved off of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. But since Shiloh, and certainly Nov and Givon, were impermanent, therefore the Eish refused to leave. So the lion essentially continued to live on the Mizbeach HaNechoshet, despite the fact that they were using the other Mizbeach. What does that mean? What do you mean? So then, how did it live on that Mizbeah? Rabbonan Amrei Sheviva Havimashadra. It would shoot out laser beams when you put something on the other Mizbeah. So then a laser would come out of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet and burn it up. But it was clear that the main location was still the Mizbeach HaNechoshet of Moshe. And that way it was Lonis Talak Levatala.
It was in the Azar with the other one?
Yes. Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa says it acted like a guest. Ushpiza havinaka, zininacha, zininacha. It was a move back and forth. If you put things onto the other Mizbeach, so the lion would jump onto the other Mizbeach, eco back to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. So that way, it was clear that it was still the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Then, when we come in to the Beis HaMikdash, it left. And that's what we said. Ploni nanasu. That was the soul of the Mizbeach HaNechoshet. That ended it completely. That's the explanation of the sugya earlier. This way, everything makes sense. And now it turns out the Rav Huna has a makor that there really was a Mizbeach HaVanim in Shiloh. Nonetheless, it's not a contradiction to the halacha of Lo Nistalka. Tanhata. Kisha'alu b'nei ha'golah. Now over there, it's continuing. We started, this is still part of the Mishnah in Midot. We started discussing the shear of the Mizbeach b'mei Shlomo. The way that we worked it out, remember, was that there were 400 square amot in that Mizbeach. How did we work out 400 square amot? Because the initial shear b'mei Shlomo was 28 by 28. So we had to take off the distance of the Yesod, and the Sove, and the Kranot, and the Makom Hiluch HaKohanim. Those are four amot on either side. Take away eight. 28 becomes 20 by 20. 20 by 20, we had therefore 400 amot that we were able to be makriv. Continues the Mishnah. Uchisha alu b'nei hagola. At the time of Ezra, they added another 4 amot to make it 32 by 32. The direction of the addition was towards the south and towards the west. Kamin gama. So they added 4 amot, like an L, and they made it 32 by 32, such now that we have 28 by 20, the shear rather on top, adds to the 24 by 24, we only have to take off 2 amot yesod, even though obviously we're calling yesod, not necessarily it was a binyan yesod, 2 amot sovev, 2 amot of the kronot, meaning one on either side, and 2 amot for the Malkam Hiloth Ragle HaKohani. So now we deduct from our 32, and we now come down to 24 by 24 instead of 20 by 20. Okay? Why did they have to add when they came at the time of Ezra?
The person is bad with it by Shani.
Yes. I mean, you think it's small potatoes. What are they making a bigger mizbeach for? Omer Rav Yosef, Mishum Dalosipek. It wasn't big enough. I'm going to buy it. What do you mean, wasn't big enough? Hashte Mikdash Rishon Dichtibe Yehuda B'Yisroel Rabin Kechol Asher Alayam. So for millions of people, it was enough to bring Korbanot on the original tiny mizbeach of Shlomo. But when they came with their measly 40,000 people, all of a sudden, who don't have any money, how many Korbanot are they bringing? All of a sudden, it wasn't big enough? And over here, Kol HaKahal Ke'echad Mikasheni Dichtibe. Kol HaKahal Ke'echad Arba Ribo. Lo Sipek, says Rav Yosef, what's the problem? The time when they were building the first Beis HaMikdash, they had the Eish Men HaShamayim. That was able to sizzle a fox in no time at all. So Hatam Eish HaShamayim Misayatam. So you didn't need a lot of space. But Hacha, over here, they no longer were Zeicha to the Eish Men HaShamayim. And therefore, they had to use old-fashioned fire. How the heck you burn all entire animals?
Huh? Wet, soggy,
magic. Yeah, exactly. The whole thing is wet and soggy, something like a fox. Where everything is just, And then the fire barely burns. And then they needed to have more space. Makes a lot of sense. Kiata ravinam Reb Shimon ben Pazi mishum bar kapora. That isn't the issue. It's a completely different issue. They needed to build the Mizbeach bigger, not because they needed more space. They needed to build the Mizbeach bigger because they wanted to incorporate the Shittin into the Mizbeach. Now, we know that there used to be, and this is all the way from Maaseh Bereishis, Bereishit means Borashit. So there were Shittim that were underneath, there were these little tubes, passageways that went underneath the Mokam HaMizbeach that allowed the Nesachim of the Mizbeach to go down into the Talmud. This was part of the entire development of the earth in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mavdil bein hamayim elyonim, mayim hatachtonim. This was part of that entire Havdalah period. So originally, those shittim were at the corner, at the edge of the Mizbeach. If they would pour Nesachim on the Mizbeach, the Nesachim would dribble down the outside of Mizbeach and go into the shittim. Then they held, when they came back to the second Beit HaMikdash, this is remarkable, is that they darshened differently than the way Shlomo had darshed. They didn't hold of Shlomo's way of doing it. So all of those centuries, which everybody was perfectly happy to have the Shittin outside of his bath, I said, that's wrong. Which, of course, is the halacha. You're supposed to follow the most recent psak. So they paskin that they darshened like this. Mikora Sovar, back at the time of Shlomo, the way that they understood the pasuk of Mizbeach Adama, Mizbeach Adama. In other words, is it the whole point of Adama is that it's like a gush. It's completely sealed up. A tomb, it means ba'adama. Because when you pour dirt into something, there's no place for anything else. Besof Savur. But then they said, in which case, what are you going to do with the Shittim? If you make them Mizbeach Adama on top of the Shittim, then you don't have anywhere to pour the Nesachim. Must be that the Mizbeach was built right up to the edge of the Shittim. And then when you poured the Nesachim, they would dribble down the side, come off, and flow into the Shittim. They, when they came up to build the second Beit HaMikdash, they were lebesof savur, that shtiya ke'achila. Look, the Mizbeach eats and has to drink. And that's part of the pasuk. The Torah talks about that. It drinks yein nezicha. So the Mizbeach is not only a predator. I mean, predators don't only eat, they also have to drink. In which case, just as the achila is on the Mizbeach itself, so the Shtiyah has to be swallowed by the Mizbeach. How are you swallowing anything? By pouring things down the side of your neck. Where's the swallowing? Try doing that to a poor guy who's on a hospital bed. You pour something down his neck. It's got to get into his mouth. So therefore, we have to give the Mizbeach a mouth for drinking. The only way to do that is to incorporate the shittim into the Mizbeach itself. Therefore, they extended the Mizbeach so that the shittim would now be on the edge of the Mizbeach. But wait a minute, does it not say Mizbeach Adama? Doesn't that mean to close the whole thing up? No. They darshan that to mean, as we saw earlier, Shetehe Mechubar Ba'adama, Shelo Yivnenu Lo Agave Kipin, Velo Agave Mechilot, means that it has to be built, as we saw earlier. Remember, we were talking about, can you dig under the Mizbeach and have that place that's under the Mizbeach be kosher for Tzofer? No, that would be ridiculous, because then the Mizbeach would be Nifsa. This is the point over here as well. This is the Makor of that halach. Then Rabbi Yosef, you'll remember that Rabbi Yosef had forgotten much of his learning when he got ill, and he would sometimes say something when he had forgotten what he had originally said about it, which is what happened over here. His answer to Abaye is, you need a larger Mizbeach because you don't have the Eish Ben HaShemayim that is helping you. But then he suddenly recalled, wait a minute, no. That's not what I said 30 years ago. It was a different shot. I remember. Amar Rav Yosef, wait. Lav Haina de Tanya, wasn't that the incredible Braita that says that when they came up during the time of Ezra, so these were the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah that came up, remarkably, they knew more than Shlomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megala to them issues that Shlomo HaMelech had never been oymed on. And therefore, they changed the size of the Mizbeach. What happened was, remember the Pasuk says, Vayachinu HaMizbeach HaMechonotav. The very words we just read. So Vayachinu HaMizbeach HaMechonotav, what does Mechonotav mean? It's ultimate Machon. L'sof Midotav. They were the ones who really reached an understanding of precisely where a Mizbeach could be. And therefore, they built it to 32 by 32, where Shlomo HaMelech was Misupak. Therefore, he had to keep it smaller to make sure that it was on the correct place, because he didn't want to go over and beyond the correct placement of the Mizbeach. Being as he couldn't get as exact as necessary, obviously, the less you understand something, the more vague you have to be about its boundaries. You can't take any chances. But the more precise you are, the more exact you can come up to the very edge of things. That's life on the edge, my friend. And therefore, they were able to do things that Shlomo wasn't able to do. As Chacham Mikalodim doesn't mean he knows everything that anybody's going to be doing in the future. You can argue with it. Oh, ask the Gemara, as our president asks, wasn't there a map? V'aktiv ha'kol b'ktav miyad Hashem alai hiskil? Does it not say that everything had been given to me, written down, the entire architectural diagram had been given over to David by the Nevi'im? Remember when he was learning with Shmuel HaNavi? And he had the Maradarshans and the Yerushalmi, that Allah he skill means you have a right to be derish that, and that it was given Beruach HaKadosh, Allah is Beruach HaKadosh. So what do you mean he didn't know? I should make that more clear, said Rabbi Yosef. It isn't that they knew more. It's that they found a pasuk and they were derish it in a way that Shlomo HaMelech was not derish. Vayomer David. They have this pasuk, and of course it would have been rather hard for Shlomo to be Dorish this pasuk, since it was in Divrei Hayomim. But not really, of course, because it was the words that David was giving over. So, Vayomer David, Zehu Beit Hashem Elohim, V'zeh Mizbeach Le'ol, Mizbeach Le'olah Yisrael. Oh, so in other words, he's comparing here in this pasuk, the Mizbeach Le'olah Yisrael, to the Beit Hashem Elohim. In which case, it must be that they have the same din. And even if you have an architectural diagram, that may be only the first mode in which you build it. If you find reason for expansion, we're going to also let you know that ultimately it's expandable. What's the ultimately expandable? Kibayit. Just like the bayit, the hekel itself, is shishim amot, the mizbeach is ultimately able to be built along the area of shishim amot. But wait, there's another problem over here. The other problem is that when they came up with Ezra, they didn't have a GPS. So how did they know? I understand that they could figure out exactly where to put the bayit. I mean, that's not a problem. Because the bayit, after all, has deep foundations. They were able to take a radar reading of where those foundations were, just as Barnea has been seeing. And they could still see the foundations. You know, so you do a little Yavna dig. And you get to the foundations, and then you build a bayit on those foundations. But how did they know precisely the midot of the Mizbeach? Over there, there's no minkar atzurato because it doesn't go underground. It's put on top of the ground. And once it was destroyed, then there was nothing left. So how could they be precise about the Mizbeach? Omar, Rabbi Elazar, they had a vision in which they saw the Mizbeach there, and they saw Michael Asar Agadol, that had come from the time of Daniel, of course, and he was there, and he was Eimenu Makrivala. Rav Yitzchak, who was a Navcha, and he always worked with fire, he was a smithy, he, of course, remembered that it was the ashes of Yitzchak that they saw on the Mizbeach. So the vision was not of Michael, but of the ashes of Yitzchak Avinu that were on that entire location. And that's what gave that chashivas to the Mizbeach. So they saw Shemunach Batobako, and there is where they built the Mizbeach. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, obviously there must have been some issues over here between Rav Chaim Noah, the Chazon Ish, and so on. I mean, L'chaira, they had the Bayit with the Yesodot. Once you know where the Bayit is, then you know where the Mizbeach is. Why couldn't they figure out the size of the amot from the bayit itself? Well, first of all, they're different size amot. Secondly, is machlokas. Was called Mizbeach Tzafek, the Doron? Was it Be'emtza, and so on and so forth? These are big questions. How do they know exactly where to put the Mizbeach? Therefore, they must have had this simon. And Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, look, it's very simple. They didn't see anything. Every place you walked in the makam of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Reach Ketoret. That, after all, is the Simen of Gan Eden, Yarada Dila Gano. That's all about the reconstruction of Gan Eden that the Bayit is. All of a sudden, they come to this place where they smell burning meat. Reach Evarim. So it was clear this was the place to build a Mizbeach for Evarim. Omer Rabba Baba Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Shloshah Neviim, Alui Mayim in Agolah. Look, we'll be talking about over here building things on the basis of Chassidus HaMaisalach. There were three Nevi'im who came up with them from the Gola. This is Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. And one of them, Echad Ayid al HaMizbeach, one was Bein on the Mizbeach, that indeed you have a right to be Maisif until Shishim. Wasn't that they relied on their own drasha? Echad Sheid Lehem HaMakom HaMizbeach, Alpi Nevi'ut, this is precisely where to put the Mizbeach. And the other one who told them, because we just saw that they were makriv before they built the heichal. How could they be makriv without the heichal? Because they had a psak that a navi told them to be makriv. In other words, this teaches us that the kedushat habayit, as the Rambam says, not necessarily, we're not paskin anything about kedushat Eretz Yisrael here, but the kedushah of the bayit being it was shchina, it came from the ashras hashchina, makrivin af alpi she'ein bayit bebatnita tana. The way the brayta puts it is the Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Amir Shloshah Neviim indeed alui ma'im in agolah, but not the three things that you said. There were different three things. One of them was made on two out of your three things, which are completely interrelated. What the din of the Mizbeach is in terms of its ultimate size and where it is, the Amakom of Mizbeach. One, who told them to be makriv, even though there's no bayit, shemakriv alfi b'shein bayit. And the other one that gave them a different psak, that when they came up from Bavel, that the Torah should be written in Ktav Ashurit, as opposed to the Ktav Libuna'a, the Ktav Ivri that they had utilized until now during the time of Galut. And we know that that change to Ktav Ashurit was part of what had happened at the party of Belshazzar, where the letters showed up on the wall and nobody was able to read it. Those letters were written in Ktav Ashurit, and nobody understood what that was until Daniel came and explained it to them, other than the fact that it was in code. Bibay Teima, Hava Ha Bakachi Kach. ומאי בשני מקומות, קודם שיעבידו לוויים את המשכן, ולאחר שיפרקו הלוויים את המשכן. So מאו דתמל יפסיל להו ביוצא, כמה שמלה, ואם הוכי נמי, אומר הקרוב, ונשא אוהל מועד, אף על פי שנשא, אלא זה דין אל אוהל מועד. אומר רב ונאמר רב, מזבח של שילה, של אבנים היה, תתניה רב ליעזר בן יעקב אומר, מה תלמוד לומר, אבנים, 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 שלוש פעמים, אחד של שילה, אחד של נובי גבעון, ואחד של בית עולמים. מתי ורווח בר עמי, איש ירדו מן השמיים, בימי משה לא נסתוקה מהמזבח הנחושת, אלא בימי שלמה. ואיש ירדה בימי שלמה לא נסתוקה, עד שבא מנשה וסילקה. V'imita, if you'd be right, then it was mikaru distalikle. As soon as they got the Shiloh. Who the Amak Rabbi Natan, the Tani Rabbi Natan Omer, Mizbeach Shiloh Shel Nechoshet Haya Chalul Umalei Avanim. When it says lo nistalka, what do you think that means? Lo nistalka at all? It means lo nistalka levatala. Meaning what? Omer Rabbanan Amrei Sheviv Avi Meshadre Zap. And Rav Papa Mushpiz Avi Nakat. Sometimes it would stay here, sometimes there. Keep everybody happy. Zinenachav Zinenach. Zanhatam Kishalu Bnei Agola. Hosifu on the Mizbeach of Shlomo Arba Amot Min Adarom. V'arba amot min ha-ma'arav, kimin gama, my time. Om Rav Yossi, bishum delo sipek. Om Rav Yossi, what? Migdash Rishon, dechtibe Yehuda v'Yisrael rabim, kechol asher al hayam. That's enough for Migdash Sheni. Dechtibe kol hakal kechad arba ribo lo sipek. Om Rav Yossi, hatam eishel shamayim misayatan. Hacha in eishel shamayim misayatan. Ki ata rabin om Rav Shimon ben Pazi, bishum bar kapora, Shitin hosifu. Mi kora sovra mizbeach adama means shuatum ba'adama. Lobesov sovra shtia keachila. Just like mizbeach adama is achila sinyanit shtia. So what's the meaning of mizbeach adama? Shem chuber ba'adama. Shlo yevnenu lo agabi kipin v'lo agabi mechilot. Omer Rav Yosef, lamayinu detanya v'yachinu ha-mizbeach ha-mechonotav shigiu lesof midotav. V'chtiva ko b'chtav miyad Hashem alai yiskil. El omer of Yosef kro eshkach v'dorash. V'yomer David, zehu beit Hashem alokim, v'zeh mizbeach lo'ala l'Yisrael. Comparing the mizbeach to the bayit. Just like the bayit to shishim amah, af mizbeach shishim amah. So b'shem a bayit they knew because min kerat surato, but the mizbeach mina yadi. Omar Rabbi Elazar, ra'u mizbeach banuim, ומיכאל שר הגדול עומנו מקריב עליו. רב יצחק נפקה אמר, אפרו של יצחק, ראו שמונח באותו מקום. רב שמו ברח בני אמר, מכל הבית כולו, הריחו ריח כתורת, משם הריחו ריח איברים. אומר רב אבר ברכונם רב יוחנן, שלושה נביאים עלו עם האמן הגולה, אחד שעיד להם על המזבח, אחד שעיד להם על מקום המזבח, ואחד שעיד להם שמקריבים, אף על פי שבאין בית. ובעדית אתנו רב אליעזר בן יעקב אומר, שלושה נביאים עלו עמהם מן הגולה, אחד שילם על המזבח ועל מקום המזבח. אחד שילם שמקריבים אף פי שאין בית, אחד שילם על התורה שתיכתב אשורית.